You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Time to say good morning to Dr. Mark Linus. Dr. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm well. Today we're going to start out by talking about cavities and then kind of open the floodgates to allow people to ask all kinds of dental questions. Are you up for that?
I am up for that.
All right. Let's talk about, first off, how a dentist actually finds the cavity. Is it just a simple x-ray?
Well, first of all, we don't x-ray as frequently as we used to, so we usually do it about once a year.
Okay.
And you'll definitely pick up a cavity in an x-ray. You can definitely pick them up a lot of the time just using that metal explorer, going around the teeth, checking especially...
That annoying little thing you stick in people's mouths.
That annoying little thing that you go into the deep grooves, you go around the outside. There's certain areas that plaque is going to accumulate a lot more than other areas, and I mean, with your experience, you know where you're going to be looking.
You kind of know where you're going to find one, right?
But definitely, the biggest thing is when you can't find them between the teeth, and that's what the x-rays are going to show you. You're
right.
Going to see the things that visually you can't see and you can't touch, and the x-ray is going to show the beginning of a cavity or how far it's moved on.
Does the cavity always form underneath the plaque? I mean, they're closely associated, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's generally where you're going to find the biggest places. It's the deepest pits and grooves on the teeth, usually on the top of the back molars.
Yeah.
In between the teeth, certainly besides sometimes fillings, older fillings, sometimes anywhere there's going to be a bit of a rough edge, or plaque generally loves to accumulate right along the side of the gum. Especially on the back teeth, and that's where we're going to find most of our cavities. You certainly find them in front teeth too, but you're going to find them in these deep pits on the sides and between the teeth.
All right. When is a cavity a true cavity that needs attention, or is just a spot that you would watch in a client who comes in for regular checkups?
As long as it's still an enamel, the way the tooth is, it's enamel, and then you have the dentin in between, under that, the nerve and the enamel. If it's in the enamel, it's considered still reversible. So if you are using your fluoride toothpaste, sometimes you may even, there's some of these newer toothpastes that have a bit of calcium and fluoride in them. Those will remineralize the tooth, and they can actually reverse.
So that would be the advice you would offer to a patient with that kind of a tiny cavity.
Right, and then you're going to monitor it again. You'll check it in 6 months. If it hasn't progressed or it's reversed, fantastic. If it's gone a little bit further, once it starts to get into the middle of the tooth, the beginning of the tooth, into the dentin, that's when you're going to start to notice it. And there's not always signs and symptoms. I mean, these smaller ones, or if they're very slow progressing, you don't always notice that hot and cold and sweet. So sometimes the dentist is going to find it before you do.
And that toothpaste that they could use that has fluoride, and the toothpaste actually does help build up the enamel again? It really works that well?
It reinforces the enamel.
And
you know, if you're especially, I mean, flossing, keeping, a lot of it too is keeping the plaque down and keeping it away. It takes about 20 minutes for the bacteria to mix in with the food, and the stickier the food, the longer it's going to last.
Yeah.
And after 20 minutes, it starts producing an acid, and that acid is what starts that cavity. So even, you know, if you're not somewhere where you can brush your teeth, even if you can rinse, even with just water, especially after you've had some sticky food or just any food, as long as you get that plaque away, that's going to stop the beginning of the cavities.
And I think you mentioned once before, some kind of gums would be all right if you can't actually brush your teeth, too.
Xylitol
might help a bit, right?
Is the best, supposedly the best of the sweeteners that actually even helps to kill some of the bacteria. So even gum in itself gets the pH levels a lot better. It's the acid that starts it. So even sometimes these sugary drinks, the acid level as well as the sugar in the drinks. And the longer something's in your mouth, so people who sip drinks and do them very slowly over the day, or you take little mints or candies, especially for people who have that saliva problem where it's kind of slowed down, whether medication or otherwise, and they start taking these candies, you suck on them for hours on a day, you're going to start getting cavities.
That would be a great way to get a cavity, wouldn't it?
And it happens so quickly. I've seen it within 6 months. Somebody happens to have maybe changed on a medication. It slows down their saliva. And within 6 months, and I'm like, did something change? And they, beyond just the medication, oh, well, I've needed to suck on candies. And they're not using the sweetener ones. They're using
with sugar, right. Yeah.
Awful, awful.
Now, so then let's say it does progress into the inner part of the tooth, is it called dentine or dentin?
Dentin.
Then a cavity needs to be filled with a filling. What do you use for the filling these days?
We still use dental amalgam, which is the silver fillings that we use. There seems to be a trend, certainly over the last 10 years anyway, but 20 years in the long run, for using the white composite fillings. I mean, certainly they look better, but there are people who still are having some of the issues with mercury, and they're trying. There are certainly even some countries in Europe that have banned the silver amalgams. We haven't done that in North America by any means. Silver fillings are still fine, and they're great, and we can use them, but there's definitely a trend toward the white composite fillings.
Are they more expensive? I suspect they are.
They are a little bit more expensive. They're a little bit more time-consuming to do, but they finally, I may have mentioned before, that at the very beginning, they didn't seem to last as long. I mean, a filling should go maybe 10 to 15 years. The white ones weren't lasting as long. Now, certainly, they seem to be lasting as long, and they're just as strong. You can use them in back teeth. They're really, really nice.
And when you're actually in there drilling away, this is the part most of us don't like all that
much. Right now.
Drilling away. Essentially, you put the amalgam in, or the white. What do you call the white filling? Has it got a name?
It's composite filling.
A composite filling. Essentially, how are you making it stay in there? Are you gluing it in? Is that what's really happening?
Well, there's two different things. The amalgam fillings have to actually be held with mechanical retention. You actually have to have a space that's going to lock it in.
All right.
You would normally, just so you know, you put a liner usually under the tooth, under the filling, so that you're going to prevent any sensitivity potentially after the fact. But the white fillings, the advantage that they have is they actually glue to the tooth.
Yeah.
So that gives you the ability, so you don't have to, generally, you don't have to drill as much away because you don't have to get that mechanical retention to lock it in.
Right.
You can actually just remove the cavity, the caries part, and use the white filling, and you use a light to harden it, and it actually glues right to the tooth.
The light actually hardens it.
Correct, but you put a layer of, it's like a glue layer down first. You can harden that, and then you put the white filling, and the white filling hardens to the glue, which hardens to the tooth.
What do you tell patients who come in, Dr. Mark, and they are concerned about the mercury content in their amalgam fillings? What do you say?
I mean, first you can tell anyone to do any research that they have on the internet, but amalgam has been around for 100 years or 150 years. Once it's in its hardened form, there is slight bits of mercury that do come off an amalgam filling when you're chewing and eating. What the government has said is that we're allowed as humans on average 9 millionths of a gram per day, and they seem to figure for adults anyway that we're getting 3 millionths of a gram. So one-third of the amount of mercury that we seem to ingest is from our silver fillings.
Yeah.
So there's two-thirds or otherwise. I just, like I said, I think there's been a trend to go away from it, but there's nothing wrong with silver fillings. They last for a long time. They've never had any studies that have ever proven there's any long-term negative effects, and it's been around for 100 years. We still don't know the long-term effects of the white fillings.
Oh.
I don't think there's going to be any problems, but we still, you know, don't have 100 years of research behind that. So certainly I believe silver fillings are good, but more and more people are asking for the white fillings.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can have a combination of both in your mouth, can't you?
Definitely. I mean, you don't put silver ones in the front teeth, but in back teeth, there's a lot of people who still have them and ask for them. I mean, one, cost is a factor, too. They're definitely less expensive, and they last.
Well, what do you? Is there anything you have to do, especially to look after a filling? Is there anything you can do?
No, I mean, the main thing is it's brushing twice a day, it's flossing. If you feel, if you think that filling happens to be loose or there's a rough edge or food's getting caught under your filling, make sure you let your dentist know. I mean, if you're going in to floss between the teeth, and again, there's a lot of cavities that have been between teeth, so you've got fillings that are between them. If you find your floss is catching and it's ripping, then you've got to let the dentist know. They'll either go and smooth that area again or replace it, because if not, food's going to get caught. If your floss is getting caught, food's going to get caught, and you're going to get a cavity under your filling.
That's the first thing that'll happen, isn't it?
Exactly.
Are cavities somewhat genetic in terms of the makeup of the tooth, something you might have inherited from a mother or a father?
Well, I mean, we hear the term soft teeth. There are definitely some genetic factors, and they're still not sure exactly, you know, what part of the DNA, but there are some people who have thinner enamel. There are definitely people whose saliva is not as copious as other people's.
Yeah.
So you have slower saliva, you have thinner enamel, and two people probably in the exact same ability of brushing, you're going to find certain people are going to be a little more prone to cavities. But if you're doing a good job, you're brushing your twice a day, if you can floss once a day, and you're not sucking on candies all the time or snacking sticky foods, you're going to do fine. You're going to be able to, hopefully, keep from getting cavities.
Do you still have people who walk into your dental office and they have no cavities at all?
Unbelievable. Certainly more and more with the younger people.
Yeah.
But there's still older people who definitely have not had cavities, and, you know, you're quite shocked. Again,
yeah, I guess.
We put fluoride in about the 60s here, so any of the older people wouldn't have had fluoride in the water, so there would have been more prone as it was anyways starting years ago.
Yeah.
Fluoride's definitely made a big difference over the years, and just people being more conscious of, you know, not thinking, gee, my grandparents don't have teeth. I'm assuming I'm not going to have teeth. We all want to keep our teeth the rest of our lives.
I think that's fair to say, yes. Do dentists still use fluoride treatments themselves that would help reduce the numbers of cavities?
Well, what we're finding is with more of the elderly, the gums have come down and the roots are exposed and there's no enamel on the roots, so they're much more prone. So we're giving some of the patients who have higher levels of cavities or more exposed roots, some of them were giving fluoride treatments, definitely.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Got a question or two about the care of your teeth? We were talking about cavities to begin with, but we'll open up the subject area to cover all kinds of different dental care. Here are the numbers, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Here's Jerry on the line from Toronto. Jerry, have you got a question for Dr. Mark?
Good morning, Doc.
Good morning.
Doc, I'm 63 years old, and I presently wear a dental guard because I've had a history of grinding my teeth. But my teeth are always breaking for no reason at all. Like, I'll give you an example. Like yesterday, I was chewing some gum, sitting on the couch, and I feel a piece of hard stuff in my gum, and it's a part of my tooth, one of my teeth. A few months ago, for no particular reason, having dinner, one of my back molars split right in half.
Ooh.
My dentist always asked me, are you chewing on rocks or what the hell are you doing?
Yes.
I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm chewing hard candy or that kind of stuff. What's going on?
Do you chew on ice cubes?
No, I used to do that when I was a kid, though.
I used to do that, and it's not good for my teeth. I know that. Dr. Mark, what do you say?
Here's the thing. I mean, one, you've got your night guard now that you're wearing, certainly, but you probably did years of clenching and grinding that would have been putting little micro fractures in the teeth. It wouldn't have broken them at the time, but they started to weaken them slightly. Secondarily, as we age, the tooth becomes more brittle. The nerve inside begins to shrink back, and the tooth becomes more brittle, kind of like you see a bone that's been left outside and it starts to dry out. It may not be that bad, but they're definitely more brittle. So you've had years of this. It's great that you're wearing your night guard at this point, but your teeth are just going to be more susceptible. You probably have a very heavy bite. I think you're probably doing the best you can with this. It's just going to happen a little bit more. Some people are more prone than others. Again, you may have been doing 20, 30, 40 years of clenching and grinding, and that's put a lot of stress. I mean, there's a lot of bite force in there. If you've had some fillings in those teeth, that weakens them as well. So at that point, you've got a weaker tooth. You've got a filling in the middle, and all of a sudden you bite a certain way, and it's a little fracture line, and the piece breaks off. As long as you're maintaining, there's not much more you're going to be able to do at this point.
So I've got to look forward to for the rest of my life.
Well, at least you've done the right thing, and you got the guard in place. That's probably
right.
Preventing further damage.
You know, even 10 or 15 years ago when a lot of people weren't wearing night guards.
Yeah.
So you're doing the best you can. There's nothing more you can do probably at this point.
Thanks very much, Jerry. Good luck with that night guard. Here's Daisy calling from Ajax. Daisy, do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, you mentioned about candy. That I'd like to know, what's a good alternate to sugar, And also chewing gum. My daughter can't have the aspartame. What's another alternate to that? Because she gets really bad headaches with the aspartame.
Yeah, xylitol is a different one. So you have to just read the packages. I don't know which particular brands have xylitol, but xylitol is different than aspartame. So if you can find one of those. And any candies that don't have sugar in them, so the bulk stores have them, and you just have to read on the package. As long as they say sugar-free,
Yeah. And
ideally I would stay a little bit further away from any of the sour candies because those have more acid in them. So the lemon ones or any ones that say sour, I'd keep away from those. But if people do want to have some candies, certainly stick with something sugar-free and just regular flavors.
And if you have a problem with aspartame, go for xylitol.
Xylitol.
How do you spell xylitol?
Xylitol.
Z-I-Z-Y?
Z-Y.
X-Y-T-I-O-L. Is that it? No,
X-Y-L.
I'm missing it.
X-Y-L. Xylitol.
Xylitol. Yeah.
X-Y-T-O-L?
Xylitol. You'll see it on the label. Daisy, okay. You'll see it on the label.
Okay,
pick up
you.
The gum, read the label. It'll be right there. Here's a David calling from Mississauga. David, you have a question?
Yeah, I'd like to know about, I went to my dentist and he was doing my teeth and he said he'd prefer to do grafting on my teeth, which from what I understand, he says he has to put me to sleep for 2.5 hours and it cost me $2,500 and they're going to graft something from a dead person's mouth into my mouth.
Dr. Mark, what about that?
Is this bone that they want to put in there?
They didn't say. They said I had to have tests done so I get the proper DNA thing in my mouth. But he said it's going to cost $2,500 and he has to put me to sleep for 2.5 hours. And he says he likes to do this now because he can't guarantee fillings. So I don't understand what he's talking about.
I am not sure either, so if you're really not sure and uncomfortable with that answer, I would probably go for a second opinion at this point. Because I'm really not sure. There's not enough information for me to make an answer for that one.
It sounds more like a bone issue, doesn't it?
It does sound like bone, and they will definitely use sometimes bone from cadavers, or they also have just freeze-dried bone matrix. And that's usually if you're going to be doing something with putting in an implant, or if you have dentures that are falling out, there's not enough of a bone ridge. They will do that, but it was something you'd have to go and again, based on the amount of information, I would probably even get a second opinion just because you're that unsure. It wasn't explained well enough to you. Maybe you should get more information.
All right, David, thanks very much. Good luck with that second opinion. That's important. I mean, the dentists and doctors really have to be able to explain these things to clients so clients don't wonder about what the heck is going to happen to them.
Well, as I've seen, we just got a big email out today. Marketplace tonight is doing a big show about dentists.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the main things is that you really have to trust your dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're very unsure, like the last caller, you really want to make sure that you understand everything. And if you're not sure, either if you still like your dentist, to go back and have them go over it a second time so you really understand what it is. And if you feel, you know, that red flag comes up, you're just feeling a little unsure as to what might be going on, there's nothing wrong with getting a second opinion, especially if it's something more major, whether it's going to be something like the surgery that the patient mentioned or, you know, a lot of dental work all at one time.
Yeah.
You could go to 3 or 4 or 5 different dentists and probably get 3 or 4 or 5 slightly different variations of treatment depending on how each dentist wants to go over it. So you want to feel comfortable with the type of treatment your dentist is going to be doing with you.
I remember years ago I came to you for expert advice on a case we were following where a dentist was drilling and filling every little crack and crevice in people's mouths and giving them fillings for the rest of their lives where they didn't really need to have fillings. So these kinds of things, while unusual, can happen out there, can't they?
And certainly you don't want to, you know, accuse every dentist. There are bad apples in any group of people. So
there are even bad journalists out there. Did you know that?
Sorry?
There are even bad journalists out there. Did you know that? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
they put them on radio shows, would they?
I don't know if they do. Here's a question from Stan in Newmarket. Stan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I like what you're talking about now about the bad apples because I get a lot of ads in the mail. At least once a week I get an ad from a dentist.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if I can trust these guys who are sending out ads. But what are the criteria of choosing a dentist if you come into a new town or a new province and you don't know anybody and you want to find a dentist? And all you have is the ads that come out with their pretty pictures of their family and all kinds of gimmicks. They're giving free whitening and they're giving free checkups.
Okay. All right. Well, Stan, let's get some advice from Dr. Mark on how you find a good dentist.
The best way, I know they say, is to always ask people. So even if you're in a new town, you meet your next-door neighbors. If you happen to meet someone in your first week or two when you're out shopping for food and you just get on the conversation, and the first thing, you know, once you're talking, you can say, do you have a good doctor and do you have a good dentist? It's going to be a word of mouth. And I'm going to hope that as, you know, time goes on, whether it's a small town or a big city, the better ones are going to stand out as a group of people begin to talk, and hopefully you're going to get that information. Otherwise, it is a bit of a crapshoot. You're going to be looking at four or five different ads. You're going to look at bigger signs, and some of those dentists may be great, even if they're sending out ads. They might be great dentists.
Yeah.
Word of mouth is always the best to me.
What about the, Dr. Mark, what's your feeling about, you can go online, of course, and ask for dentists in a particular area, and oftentimes there are many websites that offer reviews of various dentists. And while you can't, pinpoint one review as being accurate, can you get a reasonable, overall accurate picture of dentists by doing that?
From what I've looked at, and you know, I've gone online every once in a while to see, there aren't tons of reviews for some reason on dentists. You might be able to do that. I mean, you know, you could have one or two disgruntled patients, and those are the only ones who are going to say something. Most of the people who are happy don't take the time to actually, you know, write something great about whoever it is. And some of the dentists, let's say you've been around for a lot longer, may not even have web presence, so they don't go onto the internet. So people don't really know a lot about that, or they may have just an older core of patients who aren't going to be as tech savvy and wouldn't put anything on the internet. So, I mean, that is a way it may be. I really believe the best is definitely, you know, if someone likes somebody, they might tell one person. They don't like someone, they're going to tell 10. So you're going to hear about the bad ones pretty quickly. If you ask a few people, hopefully the one or two that are good, you're really going to hear some really great things.
And of course, the first time you go into a new dentist's office, you're just there for a checkup or maybe a cleaning, and you can, as a patient, make some kind of judgment from the way you were treated during that first visit,
right? Definitely, that's when that little red flag might come up. You just might feel that there might be too much selling, or you say, gee, I really feel comfortable and this is great, and you'll be the one to be telling other people, hey, this is somebody good. I'd like, you know, I recommend this dentist.
Dr. Mark, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it once again.
Thanks so much, Dale.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Mark Linus from the Rouge Valley Dental Care Clinic in Pickering.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.